Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and teachers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, confusing, chaotic world. So welcome to the 612th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of the message today is 2023 Endgame Update Number 28. And a bit later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into what we began last week. And that's learning about our kingdom authority. And that was provided by our glorious King Jesus, whom I called our conquering Christ. And because of Jesus and what he did on the cross, we can retrieve and have restored what Adam signed over to Satan so long ago. And today we're going to study three essential truths to get back to where we ought to be and to understand what God has empowered all of us to do as disciples of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 through 22, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so even in Christ shall all be made alive." So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can regain our kingdom authority, lost by Adam, restored by Jesus Christ, and graciously given back to all who believe. The bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, what are we doing? Well, we're just passing through. So stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never give you. They'll never tell you this, folks, as we dive deeper and deeper into this all-out war on humanity, which began, as I always say, with this lab-engineered, bio-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with a review from something from last week's episode. Now, last week in the Back to the Future segment, we covered the brainwashing of America and that classic Russian textbook on the topic of brainwashing. And then we looked in some excellent work by this doctor, Dr. Ifland, and what she refers to as processed food addiction. Now, remember, this is an important topic because studies have shown that addicts cannot critically think and are highly susceptible to brainwashing, folks. So it doesn't matter where the addiction comes from, whether it's gambling, sex, drugs, or even something as seemingly innocent as food, in particular processed food. And that's because the addicted mind has lost control of the frontal lobe where critical rational thinking occurs. So get this, folks. This week, on Thursday, Terry and I were watching this YouTube video. We're looking at health, and we're taking heed of what one of those ancient Greek philosophers said, and I forgot who it was. I apologize for not looking it up this week. But he said that food is medicine. So in that spirit of healthy eating and wellness, so that we can maintain what I call QOL, quality of life, we were watching this video by Dr. Neil Bernard. He's an MD, and it was called What the Dairy Industry Doesn't Want You to Know. Now, let me give you the backstory on Dr. Bernard. He is a vegan, and that's fine. I think you can achieve health by several different approaches to eating and metabolism. So he's all about healthy glycosis. There's a whole nother side to the story, and those are the people that advocate for healthy ketosis, two ways that you can fuel your body. So anyways, Dr. Neil has this full one-hour talk out there on cheese, milk, and the many reasons that you ought to think about whether or not you have an addiction to dairy. So he starts out by talking about these very unique compounds that are found in milk, and they are called casomorphines. And it's a type of opiate, you know, just like heroin or morphine. And it's produced during the digestion of dairy products. And it's super concentrated in cheeses, of course. Now, just like morphine or heroin, it's highly addictive, yet only about one-tenth as potent. And there's one compound in particular. It's called morphoseptin. And this is where it gets really dark. So the U.S. government, through the USDA, worked with the Cheese Council from the Dairy Management, Inc., to come up with a plan. And I'm not making this stuff up, folks. When I tell you this stuff, I am not making it up. But they were working on a plan to get Americans addicted to cheese.
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Oh, Paul, I cannot tell you how serious I am. So let's listen to Dr. Bernard discuss this in this next clip, which is, I apologize, I think it's around 4 or 5 minutes long. Let's listen to Dr. Bernard explain what happened to this whole innocent food line called cheese.
I am going to argue that they are there because nature does not want to leave anything to chance. Baby calf says, hey, mom, I don't think I'm going to nurse today. I'm going to go off into the woods with my friends. I'll see you on Thursday. Or if a baby, a human baby, didn't like to nurse and turned away from the breast, that baby's not going to thrive. So when the body makes milk, it puts protein into it and water and some sugars in the form of lactose, some fat, some hormones, and a little bit of feel good. Have you ever looked at the face of a nursing baby? They are so intent, and then they collapse into this slumber. And we say, isn't the mother infant bond a beautiful thing? You just drugged the kid. So, anyway, I am arguing that this is part of the biological substrate of the mother infant bond. And of course, nature said, don't worry, all mammals are weaned. You know, once you no longer need breast milk and you can eat on your own, you're not going to have milk. Humans are so creative that we figured out you never have to be weaned. And you can get casomorphins all your life in enormous quantities. And that's what it's all about. Making sense? Okay. So this is morphoseptin. This casomorphin has about one-tenth the receptor binding power of pure morphine, meaning goes to the brain, attaches, gives you a little bit of feel good. I think I'll have some more of this. Okay? Now, what I have just told you is not secret. The dairy industry has known all about this, and they've done the research on it, and they want to take advantage of it. So working with the U.S. government, the dairy industry has decided to get people hooked on cheese. I want to share with you some slides. These are not my slides. I got these from through the Freedom of Information Act from the U.S. government. In the year 2000, the U.S. government, working with Dairy Management, Inc., held something called the Cheese Forum. And they wanted to unleash an interesting plan. Can we trigger the crave? Here's what they mean. They decided you could call some people cheese cravers, and others were enhancers. The enhancers, that's the person who takes a little bit of cheese and puts it on your salad. We don't want you. A craver opens up the refrigerator door, breaks off a big chunk of cheese, and stuffs it in their mouth and piles it all over their pizza, and that person can double or triple their cheese intake depending on how you do your marketing. That's the group we want. And that's who the government – again, these are not my slides. These are U.S. government slides. This is exactly what they decided to do. So what do we want our integrated marketing program to do? We want to trigger cheese craving. How do we do that? You don't go to every little ma and pa restaurant down the block and say, would you please feature cheese? If you could get it in front of people, they might get hooked on this. That would take forever. What the government did was very smart. Fast food chains make decisions from their central headquarters, and those decisions affect every community in America, what's available. So the U.S. government made a contract with Wendy's, which I can show you if you want to see it. And they marketed something called the Wendy's Cheddar Lovers Bacon Cheese Burger, and as a government program. And it sold 2.25 million pounds of cheese just during the promotional activity. This is good. Really easy. One contract, and I am selling cheese like crazy. So they then worked with Subway, which had two sandwiches that didn't include cheese. They fixed that. They worked with Pizza Hut to make the ultimate cheese pizza, which has an entire pound of cheese on one serving. Burger King, Taco Bell, they put a hat on you that says, ah, the power of cheese. And they would say, okay, when people go through the drive-thru, don't just say welcome to Taco Bell. Say, would you like to try a quesadilla today? Use the power of suggestion at every opportunity and make sure the cheese is on every item on the menu. Now, I am going to argue, by the way, don't get paranoid. This is the way the government works. This is what they do. They are working with industry to promote American agricultural products, and the health consequences which flow from this are completely secondary in their mind. Okay, now I'm going to argue that just because something is fattening is not necessarily worrisome. Lard is fattening. I mean, it's got 9 calories in every gram. It's very, very fattening, but who wants it? People don't eat a huge amount of lard. And I'm going to argue that if something is addicting, that's not necessarily a problem. Coffee is addicting. Tea is, it's got caffeine, but no, that's not necessarily good, but it's not going to make you weigh 1,000,000 pounds. But if something is fattening and addicting, like cheese, now we're talking about a major contribution to obesity. Well, what about health problems? Let's talk about a few.
Gosh, golly, golly, gosh.
That's right, Gomer, gosh and golly. Can you believe that? And the line in there that got me the most was, ah, the power of cheese. You know, that should have been, ah, the addictive power of cheese, and now we know why. So Dr. Bernard is clear, and he's a very humorous speaker. I have to agree that. And if you watch this video, and I encourage you to do it, he has some great visual aids out there. It makes it so easy to follow. Now, the truth is that the SAD situation in America today, SAD standing for the Standard American Diet, isn't working for the benefit of you and me, we the people. And the USDA food pyramid is an absolute lie. The bottom line is, if you want to be your full self, you need to take care of your health. And the place to begin is with your diet. Food literally is medicine, folks. So whether you choose to be a vegan like Dr. Bernard or a keto carnivore like Terry and me, you must take and make positive changes for healthy bodies. And if we don't have a healthy body, the bottom line is that we're not going to be able to do all the things we're appointed to do as children of the living God. You know, the truth is you can't rely on the government to do this for you. Money is the most important thing for them and all of those that they're in bed with, including big food, big pharma, big media. They're all in it together. So first, we need to put our health first, spiritual, mental, and physical. Now, Terry and I made that decision about 2 years ago after going through that horrendous SARS bio attack. So whether it's paleo, carno, keto, vegan, or even pescatarian, and does anyone out there know what that is? Well, that's essentially a vegan diet where you supplement it with fish. And that's essentially what Tony Robbins does. And that's how Tony Robbins ended up getting heavy metal toxicity, because he was eating a lot of, what do you want to call it, apex type of seafood, swordfish and tuna. And that's the type of fish that concentrate all of the mercury that's in the seawater. So long story short, get healthy. And my message to you is get off the sad, sad system that the establishment has put in us, the Standard American Diet. You know, if 90% of Americans would ditch processed and fast foods and eliminate vegetable oils, this country would be on a turnaround almost overnight. So my message to you is start eating healthy. And we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update.
The coronavirus COVID-19. watch all this pandemic, the coronavirus. It's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And they were all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus and just say they know.
And that's the truth, folks. We're not all in it together. These global elite, as we're going to see later in this message, have all sorts of agendas contrary to the benefit of we the people. Now, if you recall, a while back, we used to open each of these coronavirus heist update segments with what I called a SADS update, a sudden adult death syndrome update. Now, one of the reasons I stopped doing SAD updates was because of some of the criticism I got as feedback. And some critically thinking listeners would say things like, well, that's only anecdotal evidence, bro, Ken. 30-somethings die every day. And how's that one saying go? Correlation does not necessarily mean causality. So I've heard those kind of arguments. And that's true. 30-year-olds do die every day in other issues that are atypical, so to speak. But these people didn't want to hear the backstory on these otherwise healthy, normal, athletically fit young adults. So if we could, with a drum roll, please, Alvin. Okay, now what I have here is the evidence that some of my good listeners were asking for. And this came from the second smartest guy in the world's Substack article titled From Turbo Cancer to Sudden Cardiac Mortality, the Never-Ending Adverse Events of the, quote, Vaccinated, unquote. Now, I've been talking about this here on SDG all the way back to early 2020 when the whole scamdemic started. And I was warning the listeners that COVID vaccines were actually a bioweapon. Now, I didn't come out to use that exact term for a while, but upon reflection and looking back, that's exactly what it was. But I did warn you folks that it was going to cause a cytokine storm. Remember we played that good doctor from Ireland? I just forgot her name. So my concern has always been from day one that these bioweapon jabs are going to cause sudden adult death syndrome and create all kinds of vaccine-related adverse side effects, from prion-based diseases to cardiac damage to these turbo cancers that we talked about to whatever. Now, just last week, the latest cancer study that was released by none other than the American Cancer Society showed an 11.5% excess cancer rate among people in the age group of, I believe it's 30 to 50, but don't quote me on that. I don't have the details here. So we've covered all of this in the past, but now there is evidence out from the American Cancer Society that cancers are up double digit in this working age group that typically don't have it. Now, there's also even more to this that's being documented now. So just as you can see this correlation with regard to cancer cases, there's a companion data set for heart damage in younger people aged 0 to 54, and this is truly alarming. So if you'd like to see the statistics and the data sets behind this, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. And, you know, since this death vax, as the second smartest guy in the world likes to call this bioweapon, commonly known as the mRNA COVID vaccine, and what all their associated boosters do, is that it delivers what you can refer to as a nonlinear payload load in terms of morbidity and mortality. So what that's telling you is that it's on some sort of logarithmic curve. And what that means is that as you extrapolate the effects over time, you're going to see this alarming exponential increase in various adverse events that are only going to become worse and worse, much, much worse, folks. And that truly is what I'll call the curse of the vaccinated. But these genetically modified people, and that's what you are if you took these jabs and you got an actual payload, there is hope. because there's a lot of evidence by some very diligent, hard researchers out there right now that you can literally reverse this mRNA and DNA damage by different types of detox. And that's very promising. Now, I don't know where that's going to go, but these cleansing strategies are perhaps the way out for the curse of the vaccinated. But the bottom line, folks, as always, is do not comply. Now, think about it for a minute. If the American Cancer Society, and that name says it all, is admitting an 11% cancer increase, just imagine what the real data is. You know, they have an innate conflict here. You know, if they said cancer has increased in this age group by 50%, that would both incriminate themselves further and draw alarm amongst the sheeple, previously known as we the people. But bottom line is, I am certain that that number is actually higher than 11.5%. Remember the reports we did from the Boston Consulting Group, I believe it was, that said that the underreporting numbers for all of these different side effects is, what, 43 to 1? So statistically, I would be very confident to say that number is higher than 11.5%. Now, none of my early thoughts all the way back to the spring of 2020 upon hearing about this scamdemic were out of line. From early on, I was talking about it being a China-originated bioweapon. Now, since then, we've found that it kind of goes back to the NAID and the fraud Fauci, who isn't even duly appointed as a government official. That's all news, too. It's just out. So I was talking about that a lot. And then I was also thinking this might be a way to get out of the big Social Security crisis that's coming. I didn't talk a lot about that. But, you know, these entitlement programs dwarf the actual national debt because they're not on the books the same way that national debt is. They're IOUs from the government. So they've actually taken our trust and they've spent it. And, you know, folks, the more I see unfolding here, the more I'm beginning to think that this may be part of their plan to kick the can down the road a little bit longer so they can get their entire control grid that we're going to talk about in our money segment in place before they pull the plug on the dollar. I'm truly beginning to think that. Now, there's all sorts of news this week with regard to the scamdemic. Over at the Brownstone Institute, there was a piece that was titled CDC Altered Minnesota Death Certificates, that a list of COVID vaccines that list COVID vaccine as a cause of death. And there was a typo in that title. So this is from the Brownstone Institute. And what I'd like to do for you is play the beginning and the ending of this bombshell report from the Brownstone Institute. So let's have a listen to this story. And I'll tell you, it left me speechless.
CDC altered Minnesota death certificates that list the COVID vaccine as a cause of death. By Aaron Hertzberg at brownstone.org. Someone who needs to remain anonymous was able to obtain the death certificates from Minnesota for all deaths that occurred from 2015 to the present, which presented the opportunity to see if the CDC is being entirely honest about the U.S. death data. Unsurprisingly, the CDC is not. As we shall document, the CDC is concealing references to a COVID vaccine on Minnesota death certificates that are exceedingly rare to begin with because of widespread medical establishment denialism of vaccine adverse side effects. In almost every death certificate that identifies the COVID vaccine as a cause of death, the CDC committed data fraud by not assigning the ICD-10 code for vaccine side effects to the causes of death listed on the death certificate. Background. When someone dies, there is a death certificate that is filled out for official/legal purposes. Death certificates contain a lot of information. Some states include more than others, including the causes of death, COD. Causes of death refer to the medical conditions that ultimately played some role in the demise of the decedent. To qualify as a COD, a condition only needs to contribute to the medical decline of the decedent in some way, but doesn't have to be directly responsible for whatever ultimately killed the person. If someone had high blood pressure and subsequently suffered a heart attack that led to cardiac arrest, which killed them, all three conditions qualify as COD. On the other hand, this unfortunate fellow's ingrown toenail is not a cause of death because it in no way contributed to their demise. This is from the CDC's own guidance explaining how to properly fill out CODs on a death certificate. You don't need to understand the difference between cause A, B, etc. for this article. The critical thing to keep in mind is that the person filling out the death certificate writes a text description of the CODS, but doesn't assign the ICD-10 codes for the CODS. It is striking that 7/9 died before May 2021. This is odd. If anything, the deaths should skew later, not earlier. Vaccine adverse events were denied with maximum prejudice and then some for many months before the medical mainstream has finally, begrudgingly, started to acknowledge that the COVID vaccines can trigger potentially lethal pathologies in exceedingly rare instances, to be sure. The clustering of death certificates mentioning a COVID vaccine at the beginning of the rollout suggests that administrative interference likely played a role in discouraging coroners from mentioning a COVID vaccine on death certificates. Another noteworthy tidbit here is the age of the decedents. Every single one is a senior citizen, and the average age of the decedents is 80. This is important to highlight because whereas young people dying suddenly stands out, there has been much less attention or acknowledgement of the COVID vaccine's devastating toll upon the old and frail, where deaths, even those that occur in close proximity to vaccination, are readily attributed to prior health conditions. Finally, the actions of the CDC call into question whether the CDC is altogether qualified or trustworthy enough to be the steward of the nation's epidemiological data. The CDC manages many of the datasets that underpin whole fields of study. If the CDC is willing to fraudulently alter data, or even if the CDC is just too incompetent to avoid corrupting data, all data under the aegis of the CDC is potentially suspect, especially if it relates to a controversial political or social issue. The implications of this are disturbing, to say the least.
This is disturbing, and that's all I can say, folks. You know, everything we've been told about this entire scamdemic and the vaccines and the standard of care, everything has been a lie. And Fauci, the master of lies, with Pfizer right by his side being his primary poison maker, his source of death, so to speak. You know, think about all the things they lied about. They lied about the origin of COVID. They lied about Fauci's rule in unleashing the COVID. We've seen that through the FOIA requests and following the money trail. They lied about how high mortality rates were going to have to be circumvented by slowing the curve. Is that what they called it? You know, just 2 weeks to flatten the curve. That's what it was, to flatten the curve. And then they lied about the true death count, because they always had other causes, but they would list the cause of death as COVID. So if you tested positive with the PCR test that was overcycled, they would say, oh, you died of COVID, even though you were in a motorcycle accident or whatever. Remember those stories? And then don't even get me started on masks and the lockdowns and the social distancing. Plus, they lied about two of the most effective means of treatment, the hydroxychloroquine. Plus, they lied about remdesivir and the ventilators. And how about the efficacy of the vaccine in preventing COVID? Or the whole retransmission thing? And how about J.P. Sears' great parody on the life jackets? Plus, they lied about vaccines preventing reinfections. Remember that? And how great the boosters were going to be. And how you need the dose to protect you from all the variants. And then those curious occultic names to the variants. Remember that? The Omicron. The Delta, remember we talked about all that. Plus, they lied about the hundreds of thousands of deaths and injuries from the jabs. Remember how many times we had testimonies of 16-year-old basketball stars that had no hope for a future in basketball because now they had a heart condition, all because they got a vaccination? Give me a break, folks. And how about the lie? Then this is likely the greatest crime committed against humanity in this, oh, what do you want to call it, apocalyptic nightmare? And the lie that continues to this day, that, hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. So the truth is that there's an actual conspiracy between big government, big pharma, corporations, academia, healthcare professionals, and the mainstream media. And they're all marching lockstep for these global elite, the 13 families that have this dastardly plan for yours and my future. And that's what's so sick about all this. It really is sick. But the lies continue, and get this one. Another article from the Brownstone Institute. German scientists have uncovered evidence that we've been saying from all along that the EU Pfizer-BioNTech batches included placebos. So these German scientists have uncovered this. I'll tell you, it's alarming evidence because it confirms everything we've been saying. And that is that a substantial portion of the batches, you know, we've been talking that one third of them were nothing but placebos.
Are you serious?
Now, folks, I'm very serious about this. Paul, up to a third of all the jabs given in Europe that were from Pfizer were nothing but saline solution. And as such, these placebos were not even subject to quality control testing by the German equivalent of the FDA. So think about this for a minute. Maybe it was not sterile. And maybe you got some saline that had some bacteria in it, and you ended up with cellulitis, cellulosis, you know, the infection of your tissue that can lead to septicemia. So it's sad, and this is BS, folks, when our so-called trusted regulatory establishment, places like the FDA and the CDC, get in bed with criminal big pharma, who they're supposedly policing, and then you have the equally complicit mainstream media out there. What are they doing? They are all marching lockstep to get us to the Great Reset, and part of that is population reduction. But praise the Lord for the alt media, okay? There was another report this week out by the Brownstone Institute that reports that serious harm from vaccines are not rare. And how long have we been saying that? And how long has the drug regulators and the big-time establishment been saying things like, oh, there's no serious issue of harm from these jabs and the boosters? That's all been a lie. It's all a lie, folks. And we've been saying this back to 2020. And I'm telling you, if you do a little bit of digging, it's virtually impossible to find an instance where these international agencies, groups like the WHO, actually have quantified what they mean by rare when they say, well, these vaccines are not dangerous. They're not going to do anything to hurt you. There's no evidence out there. In fact, the evidence is the contrary. The evidence is the exact opposite. If you do a little digging, you're going to see that what they refer to as SAEs, and that's serious adverse effects. And there's a great paper out there on this, and the Brownstone Institute has it at that link. So if you go to the Brownstone Institute and just call up the article titled "Sorry, but serious harms from the vaccine are not rare," you're going to see this paper authored by Fairman and others that prove the exact opposite. These serious adverse events are at an alarming rate. In fact, what you'll see is that if you continue with these jabs, one out of about 500 people get a serious adverse effect. That's not inconsequential. That's serious. Now, everything about this evil COVID charade has been a lie. It's all scripted kabuki theater. In fact, I don't know if you know, we've played Dr. Michael Yeadon time and time again on here, and he has said recently that I decline most interview requests these days because I have nothing new to say. And Michael Yeadon, a former executive at Pfizer, a technical executive, has been warning us that these are death jabs. Now, he also said this, and I'd like to quote it. I could be taken at any moment. So be it. I'm not afraid. We're all going to die anyways. That's always been true. Choice is only how you live this life. And I think it's very important, folks, that you ask yourself that question. Are you going to have meaning in the life you've been given to live? And if you'd like to see Dr. Yeadon say that in an interview, it's over at the Lioness of Judah Substack.com, and you can see that. Now, there were some Olympic rituals that were done both in 2012 and all the way back in 1992, predictively programmed the coronavirus heist, the scamdemic, into the psyche of the population that I like to call the sheeple now. So you can check that out there over at the lionessofjudah.substack.com. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, right, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Fuck, it's called call, kabuki theater, in Japanese. Ka means all, boo means dance. He means skill from the verb. Kabu means you slam or display. Folks, it's all right. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad. And so good is bad, bad is good. Up and down, light is dark. It's all kabuki theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world will just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, none of this is by coincidence, folks, and that's what Kabuki Theater is all about. It's just to keep the masses entertained and to think there's no apparent relationship to any of this stuff, but that's furthest from the truth. Now, recently, all the alt media has been talking about is the invasion of our southern border. It's been going on for years now, and you can listen to some of the great reporting from people like Michael Yon. He's the special forces operator turned journalist. And then just last Friday, when I was with my mom, and we had just finished exercising and spending some time in the daily bread and all the things we do, she had EWTN on. She likes to catch the morning mass and rosary. My mom's a devout Catholic, but praise the Lord, she's born again. Just don't understand why she can't see through all of that, but I don't want to get into that. So anyway, she had EWTN on television, and I was off last week, so usually I'm not there at this time. I'll catch maybe just the beginning of the rosary, and I'm off to the plant. But I heard this on The World Over with Raymond Ayoro. He had Gordon Chang on. And remember, this is a Catholic network, EWTN. So this isn't some conspiracy network. This isn't the alt media. This is EWTN. And Raymond Orio, the host of the show, invited Gordon Chang on his show, The World Over, last Friday, July 7th. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on Gordon Chang. He's an American columnist, author, and started his career as an attorney. He wrote the book, The Coming Collapse of China, and he's a Cornell Law School graduate who spent about 20 years working in mainland China and Hong Kong as an attorney. He has a very interesting career. So after gaining all of this knowledge and understanding about Sino-Asian relations and all that different stuff with the West, he was able, with his understanding, to give briefings to the National Intelligence Council, the CIA, the U.S. State Department, the DOD, even testified before the U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs. So let's just say that Mr. Chang is an expert on China. Now, in this next clip, what I'd like to do is play his interview on EWTN's news show and listen to what he has to say. This is truly eye-opening. So have a listen.
The U.S.-Mexico border continues to see record numbers of migrants crossing into the United States. Now, most are coming through Mexico from Central and South America, but Chinese migrants are also entering the U.S. in large numbers. Are all of these migrants entering the U.S. to find a better way of life for themselves or their family, or might something else be at play? Joining me now is Asian affairs expert and author Gordon Chang. Gordon, thank you for being here. You've been tracking this story at the southern border when very few are paying attention. Tell me about this disturbing picture that you're seeing there. What's happening with Chinese migration at the U.S. border, and why are we seeing such an increase, do you think?
Yeah, there's two stories here. One of them is the just unprecedented surge of Chinese migrants into the United States. And that really is the result of distress inside China. So, for instance, we saw in the first 5 months of the current federal fiscal year, the number of migrants from China who were apprehended by U.S. Customs and Border Protection was more than double that was apprehended in all of the preceding federal year. What's going on here is just something that, we're just not prepared for. But the other story is ominous. And that is, we are seeing packs of Chinese males in groups between 5 and 15, military age, unattached to family groups, who are pretending not to speak English. Now, Customs and Border Protection has been able to find that some of these males actually have known connections to the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army. Michael Yon has been at the Darien Gap. That's the 70 or so miles of jungle that separates
right.
Colombia and Panama, from which most of these migrants have to cross. And he is extremely concerned because he's a special forces former of his own, and he can recognize military when he sees it.
And so let's go through this. Why are so many Chinese, do you think? Are they leaving China and entering through Mexico? What's driving this? And is this a recolonization, if you will? Are they deploying troops or potential troops into the mainland of the United States? Is that what you think?
On your second question, the answer is definitely yes. I think what we are seeing are saboteurs who will cook up with existing sleeper agents, with people in the consulate. And what we would see on the first day of a war in Asia is that the United States homeland will be hit. They'll be taking down our grid, poisoning our water, assassinating officials, starting wildfires, detonating bombs in shopping centers. So the Americans are going to be involved in this war, all Americans. And this also means the first sustained attack and war on American soil since 1812. Now, the first question, many of these migrants go to Ecuador because they allow visa-free entry for the Chinese, and then they make their way up through Latin and through South America and Central America into the United States. Some of them are more wealthy. They can fly directly into Mexico. And there we are seeing, you know, just whether they come in through Ecuador or whether they come in through Mexico, they're actually middle-class Chinese because they can afford to pay the Mexican cartels $35,000 a head to be smuggled into America.
Gordon, how many People's Liberation Army personnel could be inside the United States right now? And does that tell us anything about a timeline the Chinese might have for when they might activate these troops?
Yeah, I think we're talking in the thousands, but whatever, and some people say 5,000, some people say 10,000, but whatever the number is, it's growing by the day. And it's not just the migrants. It's people who are working for instance, Chinese state banks, Chinese enterprises, in the consulates, and then just the sleeper agents. So this is a number in the thousands. And we have a Biden administration that is not tracking these Chinese migrants who are known to have Chinese military connections once they come across the border. So really what we're seeing, just imagine what 9/11 would have been like if Osama bin Laden had many more agents in the United States at that time.
Well, Gordon, this is why that story the Wall Street Journal reported a few weeks ago, that the American media just kind of looked the other way, about the Chinese setting up a military training camp and a satellite spy network in Cuba. And everybody just looks the other way. You pair that with troops already on the ground, what are we looking at here? And with the land purchases, those acres of land purchases, Chinese corporations have been gobbling up in the United States. What are we missing here?
Well, one of them is that the Cuban agents could easily work with the Chinese agents on our soil for all sorts of acts of sabotage. And that's where the link-up is. You know, with regard to those Wall Street Journal stories about Chinese presence in Cuba, China has had maintains now four listening posts in Cuba directed against the United States. They're at Lourdes, which is the big Soviet listening post. I think it was the largest Soviet listening post outside the Soviet Union. But they're also at Bayucal and Santiago de Cuba. The Wall Street Journal talks about a fourth location. I don't know where that is. But if you pair that up with the training facility, quote unquote, that China wants to establish, that could very well house all sorts of types of missiles, you know, missiles to take down planes across the United States, missiles to hit our ships as they sortie out to Asia, and, of course, short and intermediate-range ballistic missiles carrying nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things that could occur at those facilities.
Frightening. Gordon, I want to move on to something.
I'd say frightening's an understatement. But remember, folks, that was on EWTN. We weren't listening to Rumble. That was EWTN. Do you know how many tens of millions of people heard that? And all I can say is Ordo Ab Caio. They're going to create their version of order out of the chaos that they've created. Now, couple this insanity with the open border and all of the threats, those legitimate threats that we just heard, with the climate crisis lie. And then you get this kind of garbage out of the mouth of good old Lurch. You know who Lurch is? Also known as Ketchup Boy. Also known as John Kerry. Well, I'd like to play a clip for you, but first I want to give you the backstory because it's a very short clip. So the Biden regime's climate envoy, John Kerry, I don't even know if that's an appointed sworn-in position or not, and I don't know if you heard the news story this week, but a lot of the key cabinet members and a lot of the key people in the Biden regime have not been lawfully sworn into their position. Did you know that? But anyways, John Kerry sat down for an interview with the BBC this week to talk about the non-existent climate crisis. And he says, and I'm going to quote, "This is not complicated. It is the way we have chosen, who's we, to propel our vehicles. I certainly didn't. Heat our homes, light our factories and business. It's been proven that solar and wind simply cannot meet the needs of a modern industrial society. And don't even get me started on electric vehicles and their efficiencies and their payback, so to speak, in terms of investment." And then Kerry continues, "We have two choices. You either capture the emissions or you don't create them in the first place." Can you believe this? This is insanity. John Kerry said, and this is where I find it so sickeningly laughable. John Kerry said, "People will have a better quality of life if fossil fuels are eliminated."
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Paul, I am very serious. But maybe you don't believe me. So let's have a listen to this short 25-second clip, and you'll hear John Kerry on the BBC saying all this in his own voice.
And we're seeing already in every aspect of life, it is now being affected by the climate crisis. But again, I say, this is not something where everybody has to go, "Oh my God, I don't want to do this because it's scary as hell and because we're not going to, you know, live the way we did." No, we will have a better quality of life.
Yeah. Who's going to have a better quality of life, Ketchup Boy? Did you hear he just lectured Congress this week about his use of private jets and yachts and why he needs to do this to save the world? It reminds me of Animal Farm from George Orwell. We're all equal. Some of us are just a little bit more equal than others. Now, the bottom line here, Paul, and all you listening out there, is that you simply cannot reason with people like John Kerry, who has basically ditched all logic, reason, and truth. None can be found in him. Folks, the truth is there is no significant man-made climate change. Sure, you can have areas like where you asphalt 2 square miles, and you're in the middle of a city and you place a thermometer there, yeah, it's going to be hotter. But I live out in the country, and I remember hot weather all the way back to the 80s when we were building this compound or whatever you want to call it. And that's if anything ever happens to me, they're going to refer to me as the lunatic on the compound, so to speak. But the point I'm trying to make is that there is no significant impact that we have made to change the climate of the world. It cycles with the sun. And that's a known and proven and established fact. And another truth is there's no such thing as fossil fuel or peak oil. Both are lies from big oil. And there's great documentaries out there on all this. And you can see some over at the Corbett Report. But just like the diamond industry, the De Beers, they have limited supply to keep the price of the diamonds up. Oil is not from old dinosaur bones. The truth is that petroleum is a renewable resource. And we've talked about this on here. It's abiotic oil. We did entire segments in Back to the Future on this. You know, these oil people have opened up wells that have been capped and deemed off production in places like Russia and the Gulf of Mexico and Texas and up here in Pennsylvania. And mysteriously, there's more oil in them. They're brought back into production. So that theory of abiotic oil contends that there's a deep core process that is creating essentially a renewable source of energy. And there has never been an energy source more dense than petroleum until nuclear power plants came along. And they are clean and they are safe, yet they're being shut down left and right by these power elite global agenda, when the truth is that solar and wind are nowhere near enough energy dense to supply the needs of modern society. So what do they have to do? Can't use petroleum. You can't use coal. You can't use nuclear. You have to reduce the population to a sustainable level. And that level is somewhere between 500 million and 1 billion slaves to serve the uber elite. And that's the plan here, folks. And that's what's behind it all. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our Follow the Yellow Brick Road segment.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick. Follow the Yellow Brick. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. You're off to see the river, the wonderful river above. You find the end of the river, if ever a river was. If ever a river was, there was a river of every one, because of the wonderful things he has. You're off to see the river, the wonderful river of
So, as you know, folks, in this segment, we follow the Yellow Brick Road, which is the money trail, because the love of money is literally the root of all evil. So what we're going to cover today is really crazy. You know, we talk about the World Economic Forum and Davos, but did you know that this week, every summer, Davos comes to America? Now, a lot of people may not be aware of this. But this infamous World Economic Forum's Switzerland Summit has a summer session in this high-end luxury resort area in Idaho known as Sun Valley Ski Resort. Now, it's a very low-key, low-profile meeting, and it's heavily guarded, and you've got some of the uber-wealthy billionaires having these secret backroom meetings, kind of like Jekyll Island before the assault on our money system by the Federal Reserve. So this Sun Valley event has been labeled the summer camp for billionaires, and I just found that so strange. You can go over to the Idaho Tribune, and there's a full list of invitees for this year. So if you can't find that over at the Idaho Tribune, email me at kdbeard1961@gmail.com, and I'll get you a link to that. But I'd like to show you how the mainstream media manages this sort of thing. So in this next clip, which I didn't have queued up, and I do apologize, I'm going to play some damage control that CNN ran about 7 years ago with none other than their own pervert and dirty boy. And I don't know if Brian Seltzer's still there anymore, but he's the guy that was caught on a Skype call during the whole lockdown, basically in his underwear and doing things you shouldn't be doing. While he was supposedly on a business call. But anyways, let's listen to the lie that CNN foisted upon We the People 7 years ago concerning the Sun Valley Uber Elite secret meeting.
How do you know you found a super secret conference full of millionaires and billionaires in the middle of scenic Idaho? Well, you just count the private jet.
This is Sun Valley, Idaho, population 1,400. But every July,
The net worth of this town gets a major boost when the Allen & Company Conference, also known as Summer Camp for Billionaires, is in session.
We're heading to a conference that's so secret it's not actually announced. There's no public guest list. There's no agenda. In fact, the only way we knew it was actually happening was by calling and finding out all the rooms of the hotel were sold out. There's a lot of people I know who think they are big CEOs who've never been invited here. I'm really not sure how much access we're actually going to get. We've been standing right out here for hours. This is as far as we're allowed to go. The press is not allowed to go inside the building, and the organizers will never confirm who's actually here. So the only way to know is actually to stand outside and watch them walk in.
Tesla's Elon Musk, Disney's Bob Iger, CBS's Les Moonves, and Home Depot co-founder Ken Langone. These are probably some of the busiest people on the planet. So I have one question. Why are they all here?
There's nothing like it. This is it. Media, entertainment, special subjects they have. It's a fabulous conference.
But what do you most get out of this conference?
It's mostly about the ability to convene and to communicate directly with a lot of people. It would take me longer to get to all those people than it does here all in one place.
I got to go.
Nice to see you all.
We needed to be back at 6 a.m. to catch the attendees headed to breakfast.
Who knows here? I mean, it's the morning.
So this is how it works. They walk by, sometimes they make a joke, but they're not talking to us. They're not actually answering questions or revealing what's going on at the conference. Everything is treated as off the record, meaning they're not even supposed to talk about being here.
Good morning. Do you have a quick second?
No, I don't.
Good morning.
Brian Sutter from CNN. Do you have a moment for us? Can you talk to CNN for a moment?
No, not today.
Can you talk to us about Apple News for a moment? No? I don't want to say I'm giving up entirely, but I'm definitely taking a lunch break.
Now, thankfully, Hollywood producer Brian Grazer saved me from a sugar overdose and agreed to talk with us off campus about what really goes on behind the scenes.
People aren't here with pads and paper taking notes. They're just getting to know each other, like getting to know how different people live, different people that have expertise, understand their expertise. You know, you see all of the media titans, they're sitting at the same table. They're all hanging out. They, of course, are competing on so many different levels, but in the very end, they all have humanity. They all understand how hard the game really is, and they want each other to win. They want the business to win.
While my journalistic pride was a little bruised, these executives are encouraged not to talk to people like me. They come here for the opposite reason, to ditch their corporate suits and have some straight talk with their peers. Whatever they're plotting, I certainly don't know what it is yet. But hey, there is always next year.
Did you hear that? They all have humanity. Well, I beg to differ with that. And they all want the business to win. The question is, what business, folks? You know, this is standard brainwashing for what I'll call the sheeple, you know, formerly known as We the People. Oh, I heard that on CNN. There's nothing to worry about there. They all have humanity. That's laughable, folks. You know, Mika, are you there? Are you sleeping, Mika? Do you have any thoughts on it?
Thanks, Mika.
Looks like it left you speechless, Mika. Hey, have you and Joe been out there? Have you two been invited to one of these think tank meetings? I did find a really good clip that Russell Brand did, I think just last week, on his thoughts concerning this uber elite Davos meeting in Sun Valley, Idaho. So let's listen to a minute or two of his piece, and I suggest you go over to his channel, and I believe it's on Rumble, Russell Brand on Davos elite meeting in Idaho, Sun Valley. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to demonize billionaires.
It certainly is.
If you've been wondering what's going off at Davos, you would so 2008, because now it's Sun Valley. That is where the world's most powerful, richest tech billionaires get together with media moguls to decide on our future, where a group of people with a collective wealth of $1 trillion, more than 16 nations combined, come together to oppose elected democracy. And if there's any talk of breaking up their billionaire monopolies, when they come together, it's like Power Rangers, baby. Nobody's got the force to oppose that. What goes on in there? Is it just people in gingham shirts and gilets driving around on buggies? Or is this the most powerful people in the world coming together to make sure nothing changes?
This is an exclusive invite-only event where they bring effectively the top movers and shakers, largely in big tech and media, come to this event to network. Think of it as the world's most exclusive networking event.
The Sun Valley Conference, like Davos, is a meeting where tech billionaires and media moguls get together. Let's have a little listen to what Hamilton Nolan wrote. Here, America's wealthiest mega billionaires gather with the chief executive of America's most powerful companies and the director of the CIA, along with attendants like Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and Mike Bloomberg. So it's the kind of people that you associate with Davos, people that have benefited hugely from the pandemic. What goes on at Sun Valley? Should this be happening? Ought we investigate it more closely?
When you have this much wealth and power and influence, this is a group of people, probably the only group of people that could effectively take on the federal government.
You, like me, might be interested in conspiracies. Are you?
What?
Yeah, what? Wow. That's right, Paul. Now, in addition to figuring it out, who's going to be their next sacrificial lamb at the altar of wokeness? Remember what happened to Disney and Bud Light and now Ben and Jerry's at the altar of woke? Who's the next one going to be? Well, I'm sure they're talking about that. You know, who they're going to offer on that altar for humanity's sake? No, for Lucifer's sake, folks. Well, here's other topics that I know they're going to be talking about. First up on the list, if not first, it'll be in the top 10, are CBDCs. And that's slowly becoming the newest meme of the deep state. Everybody's talking about CBDCs now. Remember when we talked about it and Bill Sweet, what he was doing with Gideon? It's coming, folks. Maybe not exactly as Bill and Gideon said, but it's coming. Heck, you even have Joe Rogan on the Rogan Experience now talking about CBDCs. Let's listen to Joe Rogan in this short little, I think it's about a 30-second clip, waking up to the tyranny that's currently about to be foisted upon we the people with their push for the CBDC. Just have a listen.
Hoping people wake up enough to at least slow it down.
Yeah.
People are pushing in a very obvious and very specific direction. They want digital currency, centralized digital currency that they control, and they want to get everybody on a social credit score system, and they're probably connected to some sort of a vaccine app. Or if you want to travel around, all they would need is another pandemic to try to push that shit through. And they're already talking about that. It's very spooky. Because when you look into the history of this lab and them funding it and this getting out and the way they responded to it, the whole thing is so scary because it was effective. It was effective and very, very financially effective. I mean, they made a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
And if they could do something similar again and then clamp down more on people, that's what scares me. This talk of centralized digital currency, that's what they have in China. If you fuck up in China and you get a bad social credit score because you tweeted something they didn't like, well, now you can't buy a plane ticket. Now you can't buy a car.
Yeah.
Now you can't get a loan. Now you can't do something. You step the fucking line, and people self-censor.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be a part of that. Now they got you.
Yeah. Here
we know that the government was involved in silencing different voices. You know, they stopped that Hunter Biden laptop story from getting out before the elections. Just, it's so obviously dirty shit.
I did a
Folks, you got to know that when good old Joe's talking about it, it's just about ready to be deployed. Don't think for a moment that people like good old Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, and Mike Adams are as successful as they are because they're just these truth warriors, folks. No. Oh, you know what it is? It's because they're just such great researchers, and they've got such wonderful personalities. That isn't it either, folks. Bottom line, they are controlled opposition for the deep state's execution of what Michael Hoffman III referred to as revelation of the method. And we talked about that. We did several segments on that. Now, he coined that term, the revelation of method, and we got into it in rather great detail. Check the archive. and you can find that. Maybe next week I can get a backstory on one of these biggies in the so-called alt media. Take Mike Adams, for example. I've been tossing some emails over the wall to my sister-in-law, Sue, and a shout-out to you, Sue, if you're listening. But Mike Adams isn't who you think he is. Alex Jones, I've been talking about that back from my days with William Cooper. Alex Jones isn't who you think he is. And I haven't done any deep dive on Joe Rogan, but I don't think good old Joe's who you think he is either. Remember, he started his career with what, the Fear Factor? Back around the change or turn of the millennium, that show where he ate bugs and did all kinds of disgusting things to win, what was it, $10,000? You know, people could be bought very cheaply. But anyways, point number one, and I believe with all my heart that's on this Sun Valley Davos meeting for the Uber elite, is CBDCs. And point number two, get ready here, folks. Point number two is something that I haven't heard much about in the alt media yet. But I did hear it from the new poster boy from crypto himself. Mike Adams mentioned it this week. But it's what the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, is calling the Unified Ledger for CBDCs. And I found this over at thebankingjournal.abba.com. BIS calls for Unified Ledger for CBDCs. Now, you may say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, here's how they do it in their official press release. The Bank for International Settlements today released a special chapter of its upcoming annual economic report for 2023 that lays out a blueprint. And this is just out, folks, as of last week, for a future monetary system built upon the central bank digital currency. Among other things, the report calls for a new financial infrastructure, a unified ledger, to capture, and this is, quote, the full benefits of tokenization by combining central bank money, tokenized deposits, and tokenized assets on a programmable platform. So what's all that mean? For the average listener, that's just a bunch of gobbledygook. But let me translate it for you. If the central bank digital currency plans weren't dystopian enough, and think about this for a minute, they come out with a unified ledger that's going to be used by all the central banks to run a digital documentation system with tokens. So what's that mean? Well, this plan is Orwellian beyond belief. It's a globalistic run economic master control grid. Call it that, okay? The beast system, you know, from the Bible, where you won't be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast, is being called here the unified ledger. And what they're going to do is they're going to digitally record ownership of all your assets. I'm talking from your checking account to the title or the deed to your house, plus your bonds, your 401ks, your IRAs. Everything will be run on this centralized exchange owned and controlled by the globalists, including the registration and title to your car. So they're going to have all ownership records digitally controlled by this unified ledger. So what's that mean? Well, it's going to have programmable entries, meaning that the ownership of your assets can be revoked or altered at any time according to their social engineering desires and guidelines. Speak out against the 15-minute cities? Lose access to your vehicle. Speak out against their LGBTQ agenda? And your tokens don't work at the grocery store. Speak out against their dystopian open border policy and your cell phone stops working. Your utilities stop functioning. Whatever. And that's how, according to Klaus Schwab, we will own nothing. And I disagree with him here and be happy. But hold on, folks. This unified global ledger stands in sharp contrast to what Mike Adams is now hucking for cryptocurrencies, and he's using this concept of decentralized control, meaning that you control the asset. And he's saying there's intrinsic value in crypto because it's portable, it's easily assigned and reassigned, and it's private. Now, I don't know if that's intrinsic value or not. Intrinsic value means there's actual value in the substance itself, but it's substanceless. So I would say there's perceived value there, but I don't agree with intrinsic. So that makes me question what Mike Adams is all about, because he's had this huge about face on cryptocurrency over the last 6 months. You know, I think I am going to do an expose on Mike Adams. I think I am. Now, I listen to him. I think his interviews are very good. I think his humor is horrible, and I think his monologues are terrible, but that's my own opinion. You know, everything I just shared with you concerning this global control grid through the central bank digital currencies and this unified ledger, to try to get your mind around it is almost impossible. This will be 24/7 surveillance with artificial intelligence and robotics beyond anything we've ever conceived. Have you seen those robo dogs? Where is it? DARPA? And I think that's up near MIT. It's that government lab. Those dogs are just like the dogs in that one episode of The Black Mirror. These dogs will hunt you down with infrared technology, AI technology, robotics, and terminate you if you're on the kill list. Don't even think about doing something against the establishment once all of this is in place. That's why we, the people, right now need to stand up and say no more. In fact, I heard that in China right now, they're putting these devices on the children in the school to determine if they are actually disagreeing in their heads with what the teacher is trying to program them with. So these headbands can tell based on electrical activity whether they're agreeing, disagreeing, or simply bored to death by what the teacher is trying to cram down their brains. Plus, there's supposedly AI facial recognition cameras out there right now that can read the emotion on your face as you're listening to Big Brother tell you the latest lie. You know, the wrong thing from 1984. And if that isn't freaky deaky enough, folks, get ready for this episode of The Outer Limits.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, like I've been saying for some time now, none of this, none of it is by accident. All of it is part of their master plan. You know, we've talked years ago, and Bill Cooper's the guy that woke me up to this back in the 90s. He actually did an entire video documentary on it. If you go to the Luxor Casino in Las Vegas and you ride the boat, supposed to be a depiction of the Nile River, I guess, you know, Egypt, you are actually being initiated into the Blue Lodge of the Freemasons. So you've basically been exposed to the first, second, and third orders of the Rite of Freemasonry, just by riding that boat, that innocent boat ride at the Luxor Casino. Probably didn't know that, did you, folks? But in that same sense, this new cartoon series that's set to debut on July 21st by Disney, and it's titled, and this is sick, it's beyond my belief right now, but it's a Disney show called Praise Petey. It's a satanic new cartoon, and I'd like to play the official trailer that was released by Disney on this satanic, and that's all I can call it, this satanic new cartoon series set to be released on July 21st.
It's morning again. The sun is shining. The goats are screaming. and I'm still here despite the fact that last night I witnessed someone get ritualistically murdered by my dad's cult that I just inherited.
Oh, here we go.
What the? I'm Petey. I had it all. Mother!
Here.
What's this?
It's a message from your father.
It's me, your father! The community of New Utopia is all yours.
I just needed to figure out my place in my dead dad's weird town. I'm walking here.
The great daughter! She's arrived!
Welcome to New Utopia.
I'm new to this being the cult leader thing. Thank you. But I was excited to get to work. Do you need this hammer?
Yeah, just put it between my pecs.
Is this town doing okay?
No, we're starving.
You being here means the prophecy of the great daughter's return is fulfilled.
I'll make New Utopia normal.
No more human sacrifice.
Tell me what to do!
Surprise! I have a vision for New Utopia, and it is right! Everyone is happy they have someone to mindlessly follow.
I love the leader, and the comet is coming!
Ha, you blinked. We need you here so the comet will return.
Oh, God. It's a space cult? Oh, of course. Boomers love space.
Wow. You know, just research Disney from the beginning all the way back to Walt Disney himself. And look into Club 33. They have both U.S. locations. I don't know about the other locations around the world. All occult, folks. You're going to learn that the CIA actually helped them with the Florida site. And this video, this clip, this is a form of desensitization. They dropped all the key words. Mindlessly follow, the comet cult, the occult, satanic worship, ritualistic sacrifice. And what's it? It's a form of brainwashing. And what form is it? It's called desensitization. Oh, I heard that. It's no big deal. I heard it. And I felt good when I watched about it because I watched the Disney cartoon. That's how they do it, folks. Once Satan gets you to laugh at something, you can never take it seriously. Now, there's a really good documentary out there called Out of Shadows by Hollywood's Mike Smith, and it goes into great detail on how some of this is being done. It's an excellent documentary. In fact, you know what? I'm taking a note on it, Out of the Shadows, The Shadows, Mike Smith. Maybe we'll dig into that next week, along with the other Mike, Mike Adams. What do you say about that? You know, I used to have to work really hard over the course of the week between shows to find enough content. And today, I had to take content out. That's telling you that the rate of lunacy is accelerating here. And people say, why do you do all of this, Brocan? Because I do not want any of the listeners out there, any of my friends, family, anybody that knew me from Tribulation Now, I don't want any of you to put your trust in this system. I want you to put your trust in Jesus. You know, I contend, and I'm not going to be pride-filled at all. Lord, keep me humble. I contend that the information that I share on here with the help of people like Sister Kathy, Brother Alex, and some of the other listeners is more hard-hitting than the information you'll get on Joe Rogan or Mike Adams. Maybe I'm not as polished. I don't have the team. I have to do a full-time job at the plant. I have to help my mom. I've got all kinds of obligations here and with the church. But I'm telling you, folks, if you look at the reach I get and the throttling I get from Blog Talk Radio, from all of the podcast platforms, from Twitter, and then you look at this like explosive growth of people like Joe Rogan and Mike Adams and Alex Jones, I am telling you, folks, that is not organic. It isn't. Now, changing gears a bit, but not a lot, we went from this satanic ritualistic Disney production to this box office sensation this summer that's turned out to be a phenom. I think in their first week, they grossed $40 million from an indie film. That's unheard of, folks. And I'm talking about Cry of Freedom. Now, it's become the bane of the establishment. And I tell you what, it's the anecdote to the final and woke conclusion of the Indiana Jones franchise. It actually beat out Indiana Jones this week. And what's the establishment doing? Well, the establishment is bashing it. Now, the same people that lauded the Netflix pornographic, pedophilic series called Cuties, those same critics that are attacking are now attacking Sound of Freedom. Yet they absolutely adored the pro-pedophile series, or was it a movie? I didn't watch it. Cuties. Remember when that came out? So what do we have going on here in the Outer Limits? Well, it's you can sum it up in this one concept, satanic adoration. Now, it can be conscious or it could be unconscious, but what it does is it compels people to see good as evil and evil as good. Now, once again, J.D. Rucker was talking about this, and this is the very type of stuff that I was putting together for the show this week. When J.D. comes out with this article, I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday, but this is how they divide and conquer. What they're doing here is dividing the good guys from the bad guys, or the goodies from the baddies, as one of our thought leaders back in Tribulation Now used to say. That was Martin. Anyways, they do this on a lot of issues to create division. And now they're doing it with children, from the pedophilia to the child abductions to the genital mutilation. I mean, remember when it was the outcry that the Muslims would mutilate the sex organs of young children, young girls? Yet today, we have bottom operations and top operations, and the school districts are funding it without the parents' consent. What has happened here? So the subtlety is all gone. The veil is off. They're polarizing the people right now. They're alluding to child sacrifice, and that's abortion, folks. Permanent child genital mutilation, and they're calling it gender-affirming care. Whatever the topic du jour may be, this week with this movie, it's child sex trafficking. The demonic left, run by pedophiles and this global elite that have no regard for humanity and the sanctity of life, are literally using their minion of the mainstream media to defend pedophilia, directly or indirectly. I'm telling you, this is the most blatant display I've ever seen as they go on an all-out attack on Sound of Freedom. Now, I'm telling you, Jim Caviezel and Mel Gibson, and I don't know much about Tim Ballard, but they don't have a squeaky clean past either. So could this be controlled opposition? Regardless, it's waking people up. The problem is it going to bring them into complacency, or is it going to give them or draw them to action? And that's yet to be seen. But I'm telling you, corporate media has been gaslighting us far too long on what's going on to all these missing children. And now they're telling you not to see this movie. They're trying to link it to QAnon, and they're saying it's for worm food for brain dead dads, MAGA dads. I'm telling you, it's exposing evil regardless of the motive. It's exposing evil, and it's showing that there's a conspiracy there that's all out to try to protect the child sex trafficking story. Just on the opposite side, Cuties could have been called fodder for the sickos. And a lot of people did cancel their Netflix accounts over all that. This movie, Sound of Freedom, is waking people up. So I just pray that enough people get out there and hear this truth. Tell your friends, go see the movie. I do think it's worth it. Even though the character of some of these people behind it is questionable, it's waking people up. And the bottom line is that in our pro-woke, what do you want to call it, post-truth society, It's being governed by word magic rather than logic and reason. You see depravity being rewarded, folks. Not truth, not righteousness, not goodness. People need to be aware of this right now. Because right now, our children, the hope for our future here on earth, is more vulnerable to this sort of sick attack than ever before in all the history of the modern world. And I'm telling you, folks, God's judgment is coming upon the United States. And this pride-laced reality that we're living in right now, this dystopia, this if it feels good, just do it society, we deserve the harshest of God's judgment. But I am praying that God will protect his people who have continued to forsake all and trust him. So I think what we're witnessing here is a big push towards their 2030 agenda. Time is getting short here, and they're taking off all of the blinders, all the governors, all of the you know, thin veils of decency. It's an all-out war by the Luciferian globalists against we the people. And America is their final jewel in this communistic Marxist drive to rule the world. And who are they going to place on the seat? The Antichrist. Think about it. COVID-19, the jab, 5G, fear, 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 global lockdowns, compliance, terrorists, a scare around every corner. And then you had the Ukraine. That was a laundromat for the global elite where they could wash their dirty money. It was a deep state operation, and it still is. And how about at the Grammy Awards this spring when that Satanist Sam Smith and that guy turned gal were in our face with all that demonic garbage during their performance, if you want to call it that. And don't even get me going on the climate change. We talked about that. Massive inflation and the foreclosures and the homelessness. Do you know what's going on right now in that regard? As more and more of the middle class is destroyed, all by design. Homelessness, high immigration. We talked about the invasion of the southern border, riots, social unrest, and then this transsexual movement. Coming for your children. We played that clip. You can't make this stuff up. And now there's going to be more plagues and pandemics. You cannot make this up. But don't worry, they're going to have the solution, a digital ID, a central bank digital currency, a unified ledger. It's all going to be okay as long as you comply. This is depravity beyond the mind's ability to comprehend. It's grotesque, folks. And it's permeated all of the leadership of the Western nations through the WEF and the Young Global Leader. It's coming soon to your town, folks. I'm telling you, it's time to stand up and say no more. It's time to get back to a dumb phone. You know, one of the flip phones, the hobo phones. It's time to download articles, print them out, back them up. It's time to go back to networking locally. We've talked about that on some of the prep talk with Henrietta. Go to the swap meets. Use cash. Understand real lawful money, silver and gold. All this stuff happening right now should be a wake-up call. They're trying to overwhelm the system, and it will literally come crashing down. And meanwhile, they're trying to overwhelm the mind. Operation Mockingbird, cognitive dissonance. Remember, that's the goal of Mockingbird. Folks, the leftist rank and file don't understand what they're actually doing. They're literally the cannon fodder for the establishment. So remember, all they've been conditioned to do is obey whatever their global overlords have told them to think. It's all right think. So love them. Hate the sin, but love the sinner, so to speak, because most of them don't see the big picture. And so they're going to defend the indefensible because they've been taught to comply. That's what our public school system does. But we, the sons of God, bearing the righteousness of Jesus Christ, have known for 2,000 years that this final battle's coming. And we also know who wins. Praise the Lord. Oh, and one more thing before we move on. I just heard about this, and it just blew me away. California's assembly, so that's their legislature, blocks an anti-human trafficking bill. Can you believe this? On Tuesday this week, the assembly blocked Senate Bill 14, and that was a measure that was sought to categorize human trafficking of minors as a felony in California, a serious high-level felony. So the bill was stopped. It was stopped. Now, it cleared the Senate with bipartisan support, but then it met strong opposition in the Assembly that led to its demise. Can you believe this? Who in their right mind would stop something like this? And the public's crying horrible. The people of California need to stand up and say no more. Start recall petitions. Get these people in the Assembly out. They're Satanists, folks. And all they're doing is following their leadership dumbly and blindly. This was an emotional scene out there. And I think it's really showing the gravity of the matter. And time is short, folks. And we need to wake up. We need to be spreading the gospel of truth and standing in righteousness. Remember, Jesus said that I gave you the keys of the kingdom. And he built his church upon the rock, which is his very self. And he said, against this, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Think about that. So he wants the enemy to be in a defensive position, and he wants you and me, his sons and daughters of righteousness, out there on an offense, standing in the light of his truth, being salt and light in this lost and fallen world. And it's not always pleasant, folks. And what we're to do is delight in the fellowship of suffering. So ask yourself this. Have you been suffering lately in a righteous cause? Well, if so, you can delight in the fellowship of suffering with none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, folks, this movie, Cry of Freedom, is literally shaking America to its core. From the report I just gave you and all of the pushback by the mainstream media, right out of a page from an old episode of The Outer Limits. You can't make it up. Well, this is a hopeful report now on the very same topic from Greg Reese. This is his latest Reese report. And without any further ado, let's have a listen to Greg Reese's thoughts on this very important topic.
The Sound of Freedom was completed 5 years ago, but Disney fought them in the courts to keep it from being released. Hollywood employs several convicted pedophiles, and mostly at Disney and Nickelodeon, who specialize in children's programming and have even rehired pedophiles after they've served light sentences for raping child actors. Hollywood has been abusing children since its inception, including child actors of the 1930s, such as Shirley Temple, Mickey Rooney, and Judy Garland, who wrote that she was constantly molested behind the scenes by powerful men, including MGM co-founder Louis B. Mayer. And nothing has stopped Hollywood from continuing this horrific abuse. It has been known for decades that governments have systemically abused children. Beginning in the 1960s, the German government began placing thousands of foster children into the homes of single pedophiles and continued doing it up until the 1990s. Thousands of Catholic priests have been accused of raping children, and no justice has ever come of it. Jeffrey Epstein was targeting individuals and recording them raping children as a form of blackmail, so that powerful entities could control them. Epstein has disappeared, and so has his little black book. Many have claimed that Hugh Hefner was doing the same thing for the CIA that Epstein was doing. In 1976, Hefner's Playboy magazine published erotic nude pictures of a 10-year-old girl, and nobody seemed to care. The effects on these children can often be fatal, whether it's from blunt trauma or suicide. And those who survive most often struggle with it for their entire life.
To me, sexual abuse, it kills a child. I think it kills the spirit of a child. I think it kills normalcy in a child. So I just have spent a great deal of my life, walking around really as a dead person in a sense, because I almost feel like I was murdered.
Child abuse has been used as a form of trauma-based mind control because it often forces the child to disassociate, which has been known to create multiple personalities. MKUltra whistleblower Kathy O'Brien came from a family of multi-generational child abuse that sold her to the U.S. government.
I developed developed a compartment in my brain, a little area behind amnesic barriers that was actually the neuron pathway shutting down in my brain in order to compartmentalize the memory of abuse so that the rest of my mind could function normally as though nothing had happened.
My father's sexual abuse expanded into child pornography, and he was sending this child pornography of me through the U.S. mails. And he was caught. The pornography was confiscated by a criminal faction of our government. The local politician approached my father and told him that he would receive immunity from prosecution if he would sell me into the CIA's MKUltra Project Monarch.
Some families practice incest and pedophilia to gain power and to maintain it. Inbred Jacob Rothschild explains it here while reading a quote from his inbred relative, James Rothschild.
In our family, we've always tried to keep love in the family. In this sense, it was more or less understood since childhood that children would never think of marrying outside the family, so that fortune would never leave it. You couldn't write that today.
Our entire system is profiting from child slavery, about $10 billion a year in the U.S. alone. And our entire government seems to be involved. Congress has paid millions of our tax dollars to cover up their sex abuse crimes. Thousands of children are being trafficked across our southern border. And now it's become trendy to castrate children and turn them into a so-called transgender. And if we the people don't do something about this, then the blocking surveillance state will have a solution. Don't be surprised if our children are soon monitored 24/7 under the guise of keeping them safe because we have failed to do so. While we cannot expect to rid the earth of all evil, something obviously needs to be done. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All I can say is another good info piece from Greg Reese. Thank you. Did you hear that Rothschild freak in there saying we keep love in the family? Can anyone say blue bloods? You know, we've done the exposés in the past numerous times on the 13 bloodlines. Well, the Rothschilds are one of them. Now, he even talked about Kathy O'Brien. I thought he did a very good expose. Now, I first heard of Kathy's story while working for William Cooper as a CAGI reporter back in the 90s, and I have her book, and that's when I was introduced to Project Monarch and all of this control. And then back when John and I did the Trib Now show, we had the story, the testimony from Arizona Wilder. She was being prepared to be a priestess and bear the spawn of Satan. This stuff is sick. Yet sheeple ignore it. But these things need to be attended to. You know, all good has to do for evil to prevail is nothing. And Jesus did say, occupy till I return. Yet I see Christians with their heads buried in the sand. I'm telling you, folks, we're at the crossroads right now. And if we let this go, what we're doing is giving the Luciferians the green light to do just about anything they want. Do not comply. And that'll be my message till I breathe my last breath. Stand on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not hard to stop them right now if we the people stood up in mass and said no more. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a time once their control grid's in place with this unified ledger and the CBDC and their AI and their robotics with the DARPA kill dogs, that we are not going to be able to say no. So people go through this three-phase process of understanding truth. First, they get angry, then they mock it, then they come to an acceptance. Well, when you get to that third stage in the red pill process, I encourage you not to become frozen in the headlights like a deer that's about to get hit by the truck. No. Take action. Stand up. Say no. And certainly, above all else, don't laugh at it all. Because when you laugh at it, you've taken away any ability to stand up and say no. This all boils down to our ability to speak freely, folks. And I'm telling you, sadly, most of the sheeple out there, including a lot of people in church, don't want to talk about religion, politics, or what else? Religion, politics. You think about it, okay? They think it's going to protect their delicate little minds and just maintain the status quo if they just go along to get along. So they can't be bothered with conflict. They don't want to rock the boat, so to speak. They don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. Well, I'm telling you, this is all a false sense of security and a peace of mind that's going to actually end up leading to our enslavement if the Lord tarries and he doesn't come back for his people. And then don't get caught up in that rapture lie that you're just going to have to bury your head in the sand and don't worry because Jesus is going to come and make everything okay. Folks, we, the bride of Christ, will be spared from the wrath of God. But it doesn't say anything about being spared from the wrath of man or any wile of the devil. In fact, St. Peter says to beware because Satan prowls about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So I'll tell you, ignorance is not bliss, folks. It's a certain way to end up dead. And the thing is, if you do end up dying physically, I pray that you're not dead spiritually. We have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Okay, this next one, you're not going to believe it. Now, remember, I was alluding to the fact that even people in the churches are kind of going along to get along. Well, you're not going to believe what's happening at the Edna Community Lutheran Church. This is a clip we're going to play as their pastor, if you want to call this creature a pastor, as this pastor prays this absurd prayer. Just have a listen. This is actually from the Edna Community Lutheran Church.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit and let us confess our faith today in the words of the Sparkle Creed. I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads, and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the ace quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud, and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling to each of us that love is love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen.
Lord, help us. This lady just said a God with multiple pronouns and Jesus with two dads. These people are creating their own stuff, bro. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with this website. Yes, this is the church website. Just so you know, what you just watched was real.
That's right, Paul. It was real. And praise God for that man who put this up to Twitter. I don't have his name to reference him, but good work. And that's an example of what we the people, especially those of us who have eternal life in Jesus Christ, need to be doing right now. You know, did you hear some of the stuff? The Sparkle Creed, the rainbow spirit, white light being shattered. That's the angel of light, Lucifer, that's coming to blind you with his false truth. You know, the only thing she forgot was that she forgot to mention the kingdom of the unicorns and the elves and the centaurs and the mermaids and the mermans and the mermits. Ever shall be a brave world without end. Amen. You know, this was magically inspiring. Just kidding. Just being absurd. Seriously. You know, folks, that part in the scriptures where Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And what did Jesus say? Well, I'll profess unto them, depart from me, you wicked. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Well, you know what? I'm thinking that these might be some of the very people that Jesus is going to say it to. But right now, we have to keep moving, and it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
So since the craziness that started back in 2020 with the BLM Antifa, now it's kind of morphed into the rainbow crowd and all the stuff they're doing in the faces of we the people. At virtually every turn today, from Pride Month that we just got out of, to all of these different protests and these media campaigns by everybody from Bud Light to Ben and Jerry's ice cream and whatever's in between. Well, at the core of all of this, you have what are known as the brown shirts in Nazi Germany, or the Maoists in China, the youth. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, how can I share this with you? Because I've seen it all the way back to the Russian whistleblower. I just forgot his name. New Lies for Old. We've talked about it on the show. And this is going to be the Marxist plan to take over the world. And then I stumbled upon this article titled, A Maoist America is Underway, by a guy named George McClellan. Now, I don't know anything about him, but this came out this week on July 10th. And it says everything that I wanted to say to you. There's so much common sense and logic here that I thought, why don't we just play it? So I'll have an AI voice read it to you, and you're going to hear George McClellan's article, which basically said everything I wanted to say. So let's just listen to it. It's about 5 minutes long.
A Maoist America is underway.
As a political party, the Democrats have long abandoned the principles dedicated to a constitutional representative republic. They have become almost political caricatures of Soviet Stalinism that were copied by China's Mao Zedong, who imposed Stalinism on the Chinese people, creating the darkest, bloodiest moments in China's history from 1949 to this very day. The Democrat Party appears more Maoist than Stalinist. The Antifa and BLM street thugs, now including transgenders, are the laughable reincarnation of Mao's cadres of outraged youth clutching their copies of Mao's Little Red Book while screaming invectives at their elderly and professional class citizens, accusing them of betraying the thoughts of Chairman Mao and impeding his plans for creating a communist utopia. In the 1950s, the brutal truth behind the terror facing the Chinese people was imprisonment, personal humiliation, confiscation of assets, banishment, execution, and suicide as their reward for not going along with the program. Their indoctrinated children were expected to spy upon their elders and report any deviation from the thought of Chairman Mao, no fear of any of that from Chairman Biden. They demanded miscreants repent and apologize for their anti-revolutionary thoughts. When we saw a public parade of Maoist sexual deviants chanting, "We're queer, we're here and we're coming for your children, believe them," they are no longer afraid of any consequences for their actions. If not throttled right now, it is the beginning of a Mao-like reconditioning of American youths to join the cadres of indoctrinated screaming mobs tearing apart American culture, rewriting America's history, dishonoring its heroes, and tearing down American monuments to conform to the thoughts of Marx, Lenin, and Mao and drag America into the New World Order. A current example lies in the Maoist state of Michigan, where legislation is in the hopper to create a law to punish and jail anyone convicted of hurting some other person's feelings. We can extrapolate that as another form of Democrat censorship, warning conservatives that they had better shut the hell up or find themselves charged with a crime. Of course, feelings are not laws. Facts are, But that makes no difference to the Maoist crowd who create their own facts in their determination to sweep the American board completely free of citizens not getting with their program. It's Maoism. Criminals have absolutely taken over America's streets. It's by design. It's the Democrats that have conditioned us to accept this. Returning arrested felons loose onto the streets because of some questions about equity is the eminent snub to a safe, civil society. Mao made China's business people, its intellectuals and producers, his enemies by simply changing the definition of what an enemy was and turning his mobs loose on them. In today's America, instead of counter-revolutionaries, we are misogynist transphobes, racists, sexists, etc. I mentioned transgenders, because men and women who dress up opposite their gender and believe they are becoming dangerous. What was once thought innocent enough until they turned murderous has changed the equation. Until I saw the movie The Sound of Freedom, I now know that transgenderism is simply a ruse behind which transgenders, i.e., child molesters, attempt to innocently hide their predatory instincts. Is there a solution? Yes, there is, but it will not be easily accepted by our citizens so thoroughly brainwashed or cowed into buying the idea that vicious criminals need a second, third, or even fourth chance. In the movie, it was said the possession of children as a business venture was more profitable than drugs. Once sold and used, drugs cannot be sold again. But little children used as sex slaves can be sold several times a day, every day until they're used up. Pedophilia, therefore, should be a capital offense to save our children because pedophiles cannot, indeed will not be reprogrammed. So, they must be removed. Oh, the horror of it, you say, we can't do that. But remember, it's the Democrats who have championed 50 years of killing human beings in the form of babies. Remember Roe v. Wade? If we can finally decide to protect our children from the horrors of pedophiles, then we can protect our citizens from the common street thugs who prey en masse on stores and individuals, stripping them of their goods and their sense of safety. Why should these criminals be allowed to prosper? If Democrats are determined to reduce the population, here's an excellent place to start: recidivists, armed robbers, carjackers, burglars, and pedophiles. Attack a policeman, and you're dead. It should be as simple as that. 2. The judicial process should be shortened, not extended into years with a clogged-up appeals process from which only lawyers profit. The process should be a proper arrest, a legal trial, a sentencing date with one appeal, and the execution. It's people caught in the act. The issue of equity is thereby fully met as the death sentence is applied across the spectrum, indifferent to sex, race, or political affiliation. You did it, you must pay. What's not to like about that? Execution should never be public, but they should be immediately and widely published to assuage the public that safe times and sure justice are returning. The alternative is a return to vigilantism. If fathers want to protect their families, men want to save their neighborhoods, and normal citizens want to save their dignity and not live in fear, then they must be freed of the fear that criminality imposes. We can't have a Maoist America. We must fight for our America. Remember, freedom is the goal, the Constitution is the way. Now, go get 'em.
And all I can say is good job, George McClellan. Like I said, there was so much common sense and logic in that. The powers that be just can't have that right now. And oh, by the way, this is by design, as he said, and it's by the use of what we covered here in the last 2 weeks in Ken's Corner on word magic. After all, think about it. We're supposed to believe that this dementia-ridden idiot that ran a campaign for president of the United States from his basement was the most popular elected president in the history of this nation through the cleanest election of all time? Seriously? You know, George is right on when he said that BLM, Antifa, and the transgenders are the laughable reincarnation of Mao's swarms of outraged youth clutching their copies of Mao's Little Red Book. You know, there are videos you can get out there seeing these freaks that just loved Mao's Little Red Book, screaming invectives at their elderly and the professional class and accusing them of betraying the thoughts of Chairman Mao. Isn't that what's happening today? Isn't that how we get deplatformed for literally standing on reason, logic, and faith? No, this is the plan for the new communist, Marxist utopian that's going to be given to us as the Great Reset. And it reminded me of the summary from chapter 16 of the book we covered last week in Back to the Future, you know, Brainwashing, a Synthesis of the Russian Textbook on Psychopolitics. I'm going to read that. It's just a few sentences, but you need to hear this before we move on. And I am running out of time here. I see that. In a time of unlimited weapons and national antagonisms, where atomic war with capitalistic powers is possible, psychopolitics must act efficiently as ever, never before. Any and all programs of psychopolitics must be increased to aid and abet the activities of other communist agents throughout the nation in question. The failure of psychopolitics might well bring about the atomic bombing of the motherland. If psychopolitics succeeds in its mission throughout the capitalistic nations of the world, there will never be an atomic war, for Russia will have subjugated all of her enemies. Communism has already spread across one-sixth of the inhabited world. Marxist doctrines have already penetrated the remainder. An extension of the communist social order is everywhere victorious. The spread of communism has never been a force of battle, but a conquest of the mind. In psychopolitics, we have refined this conquest to the nth degree. The psychopolitical operative must succeed, for his success means a world of peace. And remember what peace is in their minds, the elimination of opposition to socialism. His failure might well mean the destruction of the civilized portions of the earth by atomic power in the hands of capitalistic madmen. The end thoroughly justifies the means. The degradation of the populaces is less inhuman than their destruction by atomic fission. For to an animal who lives only once, any life is sweeter than death. That's their atheistic mindset, that this is all there is matter and matter in motion, folks. And then I conclude, the end of war is the control of a conquered people. If a people can be conquered by the absence of war, the end of war will have been achieved without the destruction of war, a worthy goal. The psychopolitician has his reward in the nearly unlimited control of populaces, in the uninhabited exercise of passion, and the glory of communist conquest over the stupidity of the enemies of the people. I think that says it all, folks. And I don't think there's anything else I really have to say, so we have to keep moving. And now it's time for our Back to the Future. The segment where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. Well, this week, folks, I'd like to wind the clock back to 1985. That was the year the Vatican issued this coin, which had a four-engine jet spraying chemtrails over top of the flat Earth map. And there's a picture I wanted to post in the banner, and I didn't get to do it. But provided the Lord's willing, I'll get that picture up for you. So, bottom line, in 1985, the Vatican, under Pope John Paul II, published or printed or minted a coin, I should say, showing chemtrails spraying the global flat earth. Boy, there's a lot there, isn't there? I'm telling you, bottom line, I don't trust the Vatican, especially Pope Francis. In fact, if you're a devout Roman Catholic and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're my brother in Christ, and I have nothing against you, but I am telling you that the Vatican is corrupt beyond even comprehension. So you should not trust this Jesuit communist dictator. And that's what he is. He's very openly engaging in censorship, and he's embraced the UN plan for global warming. And he's right in there in bed with Klaus Schwab and everything's going on at the World Economic Forum and everything that old Lurch, ketchup boy, John Kerry is doing. There's this TV interview with this Catholic documentarian named Mike Morano. He traveled to the Vatican as part of a team for Heartland Institute, and he tried to present a countering view to the UN's dogma on global warming in Pope Francis's encyclical on the environment. Now, here's the sad thing. If Pope Francis really cared about helping the poor and not this whole global agenda for population control, he's going about it in the exact opposite way. He's in bed with the Rockefellers and the Banksters and the Rothschilds, all seeking to call humanity, the human herd, the goyim, and turn us into a non-reproducing cyborg. You know, the honest climate data shows just the opposite. We go through these 20-year heating and cooling cycles. They're little mini cycles. And then there's these big global ice ages. And that's all being controlled, as NASA has proven, and we've talked about on here time and time again, through solar activity. Now, there was a portion in this documentary where Mike Morano had an eye-opening interview with the Vatican, and he was trying to ask a question to the then UN Secretary General Ki Ban-moon from, I think it was South Korea. And he was threatened during this what do you want to call it, this meeting with removal if he doesn't shut up. So I have a prayer out there for all the devout Catholic priests and the pastors across the land. Do not begin parroting the satanic lie from the pulpit. Do not. Pope Francis's encyclical on the environment and the UN's climate change treaty are from the pits of hell. And that makes me say with all confidence, Pope Francis cannot be a Christian as he pushes this global depopulation agenda and the gay agenda of death and all the other things he does. He's right in lockstep with the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Plan. And when he talks about it, he almost sounds like a clone of Obama. He really does, especially when he's pushing the gay eugenics and their agenda of death and all this other garbage. And we, the people, need to stand up and say no more. Do not comply. We need to stand up in a peaceful revolution against the UN climate change treaty and all these genocidal chemtrails. We need to get the word out. Share my podcast. Share the work from Maria Z. Remember Maria Z? Remember what she did? I think I brought that clip up. That was a clip where she did the expose on all the contracts out there. Let's listen to the first minute.
Good evening, everyone. This is perhaps the most dangerous report that Z Media has released. The reason why it's so dangerous is because geoengineering has historically been very difficult to prove. We've all seen pictures and footage of chemtrails and observed them with our own eyes, which we are then gaslit to believe are condensation trails despite the fact that millions of people worldwide are reporting the weather is changing almost immediately after these trails have been spotted in the skies. If your eyes are open, you know the skies are no longer normal and it has nothing to do with so-called climate change. If you're familiar with our work, you'd know we've interviewed geoengineering expert Dane Wigington on multiple occasions about this topic. On his website, geoengineeringwatch.org, you'll find a huge library of documentation, research, and patents for these weather warfare operations, as well as the documentaries The Dimming and Graphene.
I think that's a good place to cut in there. I just wanted to remind you. So that's out there. You can get that on Maria Z. We covered it in great detail. We played about 7 minutes out of it a few episodes ago. I encourage you to get out there and check it out. Plus, check out Dane Wigington's geoengineeringwatch.org. And then have you heard of Michael Murphy and his documentary films? What in the world are they spraying? Why in the world are they spraying? And then his latest effort has a trailer that I just think we should be posting all over social media. It's An Unconventional Shade of Gray. And it was made to specifically stop the UN climate change treaty. Plus, make copies of, there's an Italian documentary, I think, with either dubbing or English bylines, Chemtrails, The Secret War. So I'm encouraging you folks to get out there and wake people up to what they're spraying in the skies. And then look into some detox methods, because Brother Seth, he's out there collecting what falls out of the sky. And I think they're the payload vehicles for this nanotechnology. We've covered that, too. Now, the naysayers are going to argue, well, the Vatican's chemtrail coin was minted in 1985, which, by the way, is exactly when NASA began to indoctrinate children through their education programs into accepting chemtrails as normal clouds, which they're not, folks. And these naysayers are going to tell us that, well, that coin was part of a seven-coin set issued in 85 to commemorate the travels of Pope John Paul II. Well, yeah. But why was there a chemtrail? That's not a contrail. Contrails disperse very quickly. Chemtrails just kind of spread, and then the weather change, like Maria Z talked about, occurs very quickly. And sometimes you'll get those rainbow hues in the sky. That's when they start hitting it with ionospheric heating, and that moves the Gulf Stream and changes weather patterns. Or how about that nut job that Stephen Colbert had on his show? Do you remember that? What was his name? David Knight? And then we had Stephen Colbert just laughing in our faces about it.
and use that to stop the planet warming up. And
Wait, ugly tech fix. You can spray something into the atmosphere to
spray pollution into the atmosphere to stop it warming.
How do you do this?
You start with a fleet of modified business jets and say 20,000 tons of sulfuric acid into the stratosphere every year. And each year you have to put a little more. And this doesn't, in the long run, mean that you can forget about cutting emissions. We will need to rein in.
No, we'll get to it eventually. In the meantime, we're shrouding the earth in sulfuric acid.
So people are terrified about talking about this because they're scared that it will prevent us cutting emissions.
Right, and also that it's sulfuric acid.
We put 50 million tons of sulfuric acid in the air now as pollution, and it kills 1 million people a year worldwide.
Okay, but it'll be better if we put more in.
We're talking about 1% of that.
1% more, we're just killing 10,000 more people.
You can do math.
What happens to the sulfuric acid after it's sprayed? Does it just stay up there?
No, it rains down, but it's a tiny addition of what we're already doing.
Is there any possible way this could come back to bite us in the ass?
It actually turns out to be an old idea. This was known since President Johnson.
You ever look at those planes up there? They have contrails behind them. Maybe all those planes with the contrails, maybe they're actually spraying chemicals into the atmosphere right now, and Uncle Sam isn't telling us.
Seems extremely unlikely.
The fact that the United States is not telling something to its citizens, that seems extremely likely to me. Read the newspaper. I think they might have your idea already.
Wow. More predictive programming, more desensitization, laughing at what is real means you can never take it seriously. Stephen Colbert is one of the best minion in the Luciferian arsenal to get we the people become sheeple. Now, you know, I'm looking at the time and it's getting late. So what I would like to do is apply this backstory from Back to the Future to the freaky deaky news headlines of this week. And this just out on the 7th, I believe it was. The Biden regime's considering a dangerous plan that would block the sun in order to rapidly cool the earth. You can't make this stuff up. So now the Biden regime is letting potentially millions of people and animals die if it means cooling the earth by a few degrees. So they're taking the garbage that we just heard from Maria Z and her expose to the garbage that Stephen Colbert laughed at with, what was his name? David Keith. And it's all coming together. The coin from the Vatican in 1885. So the Daily Mail reported that the regime officials released a report last Friday suggesting blocking sunlight to rapidly cool the earth in a process known as solar radiation modification, or SRM for short. That is geoengineering, folks, and now it's being talked about by the White House. This is sickening. So I'd encourage you to go over there, and you can also find a companion piece at the Gateway Pundit. There's so much science out there that proves this doesn't work. In fact, it creates the opposite effect. Yet they're doing it. And I'm telling you, bottom line, this is dangerous and it's moronic. I remember years ago when NOAA, I believe it was, the National Oceanographic Aeronautical, whatever it is, Association, or one of its predecessors or spinoffs decided to block a hurricane from forming and they were seeding the tropical storm clouds, remember? Do you remember that? And what it did is it caused two hurricanes. And that was the end of that experiment. Bottom line is we shouldn't mess around with this sort of stuff. We shouldn't go where angels fear to tread. And it reminds me of that Disney clip from the 60s, more predictive programming on weather control.
The world of tomorrow and the instruments of science which are shaping it may seem remote and fantastic, but yesterday's fantasies are becoming today's facts. How will these great advances influence and benefit our personal lives? Here in this film is an answer. The storm is over. The danger has passed. The hurricane has been defeated, turned away from the land, and left to spend itself harmlessly far out at sea. In the world of tomorrow, weather control will enrich and safeguard our daily lives. In the foreseeable future, we will conquer more than violent storms. we will turn the destructive elements of today into new sources of power, shaping the land on which we live. All mankind will benefit. Arid wastelands will be made green and fertile, and vast frozen areas will become productive. To this end, man-made satellites will probe the secrets of the skies. They will be our eyes in outer space.
So that was the predictive programming. And then when they did it, like I said, they seeded the tropical storm clouds to try to stop the hurricane like that little fluff piece from Disney said it would. Remember Disney, the ones that just brought us Hail Petey or Praise Petey. What happened? The hurricane split into two. It was the end of that program. Well, what's going to happen with all this now, all this spraying? You know, companies in the U.S. have to file form NOAA 17-4 after what happened with that cloud seeding disaster. And it's designed to explain how the modifications they're going to do to the clouds and to the ionosphere and the stratosphere by these cloud seeding and spraying technologies, how that's going to affect the weather. Now, if you go onto that NOAA site and you look up Form 17-4, you're going to see that there are hundreds in that database. And you can also go to noairholes.com, and they have one company's form on there, makesunsets.com, and it shows their plan to spray the whole earth with chemicals to block the sun for 200 years. And that started this year, folks, and that's what Marie Zia was talking about. Now, it's easy to joke about all this, but just drive around and look up there and see all those contrails. And then as you're driving around, look at all the dead trees. And we have them here. Different varieties of trees are dying. And I just don't see our fields as lush as they used to be. I used to be able to cut them for hay twice a year. Can't do that anymore. And the garden, our garden has been a big flop. And I'll give you an update on that a little bit later in the season. But I'm telling you right now, our skies are filled with these chemtrails from planes flying nonstop. And again, geoengineering.org has tons of info on this. And remember, these are the same psychopaths who developed the bioweapon and then the uber bioweapon, the vaccine, to help usher in the Great Reset. I'm telling you, folks, climate change lockdowns are coming next, but do not comply. This COVID grift was just their test run. And this climate change game is going to be their gift to their overlords and the Antichrist himself, along with the CBDC tokens and the unified ledger system from BIS and their 15-minute cities to create the digital gulags with their endless jabs and their social credit scores to get all of us into the prison planet. But the bottom line, folks, is do not comply. Now, I am just going to introduce what we're going to talk about later, and that's going to be what we can do when we know our enemy, but more importantly, our identity in Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to set the stage for this, and then we're going to have a special broadcast next week because I don't want to cut any of this out either. I'm going to actually air it tomorrow night up against Tribulation Now at 8 o'clock. So provided Lord's willing, I'm going to wrap this up now with just an overview of what we're going to cover in part two of this update. Now, last week we talked about our King Jesus, who I called our conquering Christ, and what we could retrieve and have restored. You know, that which Adam and Eve signed over legally to Satan so long ago in the Garden of Eden. And tomorrow what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you three essential truths out of the Word of God that will enable us to get back to where we ought to be and help us understand what God has empowered for you and me to be as disciples of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I'm going to pray that you come back tomorrow at 8 in the evening, and I pray that God writes these truths from this message upon your heart. And we're going to look at what Adam legally lost in terms of his dominion over this earth and what the second Adam, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, came back to legally regain. What man has lost, man must regain. And then what was legally lost and righteously regained has been gloriously and graciously given to all of us who appropriate it. So that's what I'm going to talk about, provided the Lord's willing, tomorrow night. But right now, because of the time constraints we have, I just ask you to stand and continue to stand on this rock of truth. And in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in, no, never.
Never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, for all of us who believe and all of us who confess with our mouths, so we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus died for our sins, rose on the third day, and now rules and reigns as Lord, our Lord, and our Savior. That same spirit that rose him from the grave, that same spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, now lives in you and me. Let's lift our hands up, their hands up, and praise the Lord.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, the same power that moves mountains when we speak.
We all cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.
Victory.